Get out of my pub.
Get out of my pub right now!
I'm not going anywhere.
Hello and welcome to Get Out of My Pod, the EastEnders fan podcast. I'm Nav.
I'm Una.
How's it going, Una?
Oh, you know. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, you've been out and about much?
Yeah, just out and about. Been to the pub, been out to eat, been to see all my friends.
All of it on Zoom, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know what? Like, obviously, I mean, we've just, pre this podcast, had a bit of a moan about the situation, but last night when I was like, I had like two Zoom calls in a row, and I was sort of like, on the one hand, I hate not being able to leave my house and see my friends. On the other hand, I'm in bed in a onesie with a beer hanging out with all my mates.
Absolutely lovely.
Sort of ideal.
And what was one of those Zoom calls, Una?
One of those Zoom calls was our new favourite thing. Our weekly Friday evening EastEnders script reading club.
Woohoo!
I don't know, we don't really have like a name for the group, do we?
We don't have a name for the group. Should we come up with a name for a group? By the way, we now have over 140 followers on Twitter, so should we put it to our Twitter fandom?
Yeah. Yeah, let's see if they want to come up with any names. I mean, I feel a bit like, I don't know most of the people in the group, really.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to like be in it a bit longer before we can name it. But that doesn't mean we can't get suggestions, internet.
We're founding members. I think it's allowed. And also, excitingly, we've got recording of last night. So I'm going to stick that in at the end of the podcast.
Which bit are you going to put in?
Well, I don't know. Is it narcissistic to do our bit?
No, but I feel like my bit was not the most interesting.
Same. As in mine, not yours.
So the episode was, what, from like 2005 or something?
2007. Yeah.
And it was a bit less of a like seminal episode. And, you know, last time we obviously did the reveal of the killer of Lucy Beale.
Big.
This one was a bit less dramatic. It was like, there were lots of storylines going on. It was quite a fun one. But yeah, like, loads of characters that I just had forgotten about. That was really nice.
Who was Bert?
Yeah, Bert.
Patrick had a mate called Bert, and I literally have no memory of Bert. Did you remember Bert?
No. And do you know what? I think it's because I wasn't watching it in 2007. I think I started watching it like just after the episode that we did last night.
I definitely had a few years breaks from EastEnders, but I also have this weird habit. I have the same thing with football, where I still read about it, even if I'm not watching it. So I definitely would have been reading about EastEnders at the time, and I still don't remember Bert.
I must have watched it like quite soon after, though, because I remember little Jay. So Bert seemed to be like in charge of Jay somehow.
It feels like Jay was like parented by like multiple different people like, over the years.
Yeah.
Phil, Billy, this guy called Bert.
Yeah, and Jason. Wait, Jason was his real dad, wasn't he?
Yeah, who got killed while Billy hid in the shower.
So yeah, Jay was in it. I was Abby when she was quite little, I think.
Angelic Abby. Annoying Angelic Abby. You weren't annoying, which is good.
She was annoying at that age, though. I much preferred when Abby kind of like got a bit more conniving.
Yeah, right. Do you remember the clip of, I think their dog had died, and Abby made the whole family do a funeral, and she started singing on the street at the funeral. I'm definitely going to repost that on the Twitter page.
Do you know, like, one of the saddest episodes of EastEnders that I actually remember is when Jay and Abby broke up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was so sad. I don't know, like, Jay was just really mean, and it was really out of character, and it never really got resolved. He just, like, suddenly didn't like Abby anymore and was really horrible, and they broke up.
Obviously, Jay shouldn't have been horrible to Abby, but I could not stand Abby. Like,
I mean, yeah, she was a nightmare.
She was so awful.
Such goody two-shoes.
Oh, my God. I mean, I guess she played the character well.
Yeah, she definitely did.
Not anything against the actor, but oh, my days. Yeah, she was super, super annoying. We're never going to see her back, so.
Yeah, fully dead.
Gust of wind got her.
Gust of wind.
Finished her off.
Yeah, so that was great last night.
That was a lot of fun. Actually, one other thing as well. I completely forgot that Bradley went and dated someone else in between. I think so. The way the storyline played out was that Bradley had been with Stacey. Stacey then had an affair with Max. Bradley broke up with Stacey, entirely unrelated to the affair, started dating a posh woman called Lydia, and that was the episode we were in last night, which was him breaking up with Lydia. But the person who played Lydia on our call last night was so on point.
Nailed it, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And Stacey, actually. The person who played Stacey was brilliant
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, she was really good. Yeah.
Really, really good.
Made me miss Stacey.
Yeah, right. And we're not going to see her for a long, long time because they've got to catch up on the episodes that they were expecting to film now. But maybe they'll bring her in earlier, I don't know.
I would love that.
Please, come back, Stacey.
Please.
There we go. Right, should we pick up on our Bobby-based predictions from last week?
Oh, yeah. Not very successful, really, were they?
No, they weren't. He wasn't in it.
Yeah, no, was he in it at all?
I don't think so, no.
I don't remember seeing him. What was your Bobby-based prediction?
Mine was that he would be the one to discover Ian's secret and that Dottie knows about Ian's secret and he's the one would tell the truth to Sharon, but that literally didn't even come up. Like, he wasn't in it. It just wasn't in it.
And yeah.
What was your Bobby-based prediction? Your BBP?
That Dottie would start dating him to get to Ian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like both predictions possible in the future, probably a bit naive to suggest that was going to happen this week, considering that originally last week and this week were presumably supposed to be the same week.
Yeah, exactly. Although they do seem to be moving more towards a Dottie-Vinny relationship.
Yeah, that is true.
Which is, which would be nice.
Yeah. Should we talk about the house party?
No social distancing happening there, I'll tell you that for a fact.
No, no. Looked like a good party, though.
Did look like a good party. They were playing some bangers.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to pay a tenner to go into a house party?
I would never pay a tenner to go to a house party.
I'd be pretty angry.
Yeah, it's really steep, yeah. Yeah, unless they had like free drinks or something, that's not really okay.
I mean, possibly they did have free drinks, so it was like bring your own. But the guy who played the doorman, I don't like to be mean about people's acting, but wow, he like stood out. Particularly the moment at which he's like, he goes, the feds are coming, and it's like, yeah, no. That's not it.
Oh, and then the feds came.
The feds bloody well came.
Shut down the party.
Arseholes.
Before we talk about that, the Ruby was quite nice about it all, wasn't she?
Yeah. I was actually thinking this week that I hope she doesn't leave like before she gets another good storyline, because she obviously had the rape storyline and I think she did really well in that, apart from a few missteps in terms of the story writing, not her acting, but and I thought, you know, because she intervened with, I mean, we'll get onto like Whitney's storyline, but I thought like the way she intervened in like the Whitney and Leo's mum storyline, and I was like, you know, they need to do more with Ruby.
Yeah, she's a good character, and she's also like a legacy character, isn't she?
Right, exactly. And I think they don't make enough of that, partly because she was a legacy character, but none of her family really stayed. And her other massive link to the square was, as we were talking about, is Stacey. So that then just makes it difficult. And they never did anything with the Martin, Ruby, when they slept together.
Yeah. I know. I quite like that storyline. I was sort of like quite up for a little like Martin and Ruby relationship. They're quite a nice pair.
Has Ruby told Stacey that that happened?
Yeah, I think Stacey did find out and was like weirdly okay with it.
Yeah, I actually, now thinking about it, like, even though, you know, props to people in open relationships and, you know, being mature about this shit and go for it, part of me feels like Ruby shouldn't have, I'm not blaming Ruby, obviously it's like there's two of them, but like,
I think Rob probably don't sleep with your best mate's ex-husband.
It's not even ex-husband.
Yeah, because it wasn't that long after they broke up, was it? Or
right.
Whatever was going on, yeah. Anyway, so let's get back to the party.
Party. What did you make of all the various shenanigans?
Well, right. The whole police thing.
Yeah.
I think EastEnders has been doing a really good job recently of kind of telling the story of a day-to-day experience of racism and how the police fit into that for many people. But like suddenly pivoting to turning up at a house party and then a load of kids in masks coming out and starting to chuck bricks at the cops for no apparent reason. I mean, yeah, it didn't seem like A, the most realistic situation, and B, the most appropriate
Do you know what I mean? Like, they paid a tenner to get into a party. The party had quite a kind of friendly, like, you know, vibe, and then suddenly they turn into, like, mass wearing, like, bottle throwing. Like, you know, do you know what I mean? It just was a bit like...
I mean, there was a bit of a suggestion because I was seeing, like, Vinny's old mates turned up and he looked really nervous about it. So there's a suggestion that there were, like, some tearaways at the party. But, like, I just think that if you're going to do a storyline about racism, maybe, like, creating this image of kind of, like, a rabble of black and brown teenagers lobbing stuff at the police, apparently, like, unprovoked, probably not the way to go with that, yeah.
They would have just run away. That's just what would have happened. It's like...
Exactly. Ridiculous.
Really stupid.
Yeah. So, but if we move our attention to back inside the apartment and the kind of like Ikra, Ash and Vinny situation, what was your thoughts on that?
Do you know what? I will give my thoughts on that. But I also, you know, we've had some, you know, not disagreements, but, you know, we're Habiba. I know I'm going a bit left field here. But she was only in it for about 10 seconds this week, and I just absolutely loved it. And the line was basically, she was trying to find out where, she was chatting to Ikra and Ash, and she was trying to find out where Jags was. And she's like, oh, I thought I lent him like 50p the other day, and I thought I'd just get it back. Oh, never mind. And I just thought, that's great. I love that.
Yeah, actually, I did really like that. I thought it was funny.
It's beautiful. It was absolutely lovely. But okay, so Ikra and Ash, just okay, so I've got two thoughts on that. First thought is that I actually kind of think they're developing their characters quite well. So I think, you know, the Ash having like traits of her family, I think kind of makes sense. Like, so I think that's done quite well. The only thing that I sometimes find a little bit curious is sometimes it's the case and sometimes it's not, that like Ikra and Ash's relationship sometimes seems like it's new. And then other times it feels like it's quite a mature relationship. And actually, it should be the latter, because off screen, they were supposed to have been going out for quite a long time before Ash came onto the scene, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And you never hear them say, I love you or anything. I'm not saying like you're obliged to say that, but it doesn't seem like that. Like, you know, the way that she's discovering like this much about Ash, it's like...
Yeah, it feels like the writers haven't really decided what, like, how long that relationship's been going on for or where they're at, really.
Right, and it's like, yeah, I think it's fine. To be honest, it's not a big deal, because in terms of, like, as a viewer, it's new to us. But, yeah, maybe they could have written in, like, a bit more, like, of a sense of, like, the history of their relationship. Because you'd never also hear about them recalling that many moments from their past together either, do you?
Yeah, it's a bit, I don't know, I think they just didn't think it through that much.
yeah, no.
But right, I sort of, to be honest, I found Ikra like a bit annoying in that episode. I was like, she was so like horrified at what was going on the whole time.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously not great to carry on kicking someone when they're on the floor, but like, you know, he was a homophobic piece of shit. He was going to be okay. Like, she was so serious about it.
But you know what, though? I think, like, it fits in with a character. And also, in a relationship, you would want your partner to stop you doing something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Like, your partner, for example, like, if you were doing that, you'd want them to stop you, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, and likewise, you know, I wouldn't really want to see my partner doing that.
Right.
I would probably say, let's call an ambulance. But
yeah.
Also, like, the police are outside, you know, you would want to be careful, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would want to be careful. And I actually liked how, like, Ash went into, like, super protective mode and just took control of the situation. I was like, that's actually quite impressive. I got a lot of respect for that.
I think this is actually what I'm getting at, is that I really like this new, like, badass Ash.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shut up, Ikra. Ash is cool now.
But that's the classic kind of, like, you know, I don't want to say gangster, but, like, that's the classic kind of, you know, situation you have in EastEnders, right? Like, you have somebody who is a bit of a badass, and then their partner is their, like, slight kind of, you know, hold them back from, like, you know, fully going dark as fuck, right? Like,
yeah, it's a nice, like, classic EastEnders dynamic they've set up there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also liked how Ash sort of, like, you could see all these glimmers of her mum, and the way she was like immediately reverted to being completely in control of Vinny was quite funny.
Yeah, massive. So I really like their sibling relationship between Vinny and Ash, like more so than maybe the other siblings. I think there's something really nice about that relationship. And you can tell that Vinny like wants to kind of be and has been the one who's been at the forefront of being more welcoming to Ikra. So nice. It's nice to see more of that. And I definitely want to see a lot more of that.
Yeah, definitely. One like little thing to pick up on Ikra and Ash, I want to get your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. There was that one line where Ikra was like, "Oh, I've already come from one mad Asian family. I don't need another one." I was a bit like, don't know about that.
Okay, what do I think of that situation? I think it was an attempt to like think about what the dialogue, what would authentic dialogue be between Asian people? And I actually respect like writers when they make that attempt, like they don't try and like, you know, shoehorn like conversations that wouldn't really necessarily take place. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, Asian families or people of color are like alien species, but there'll be like particular conversations that you can have or you're likely to have in context that you wouldn't do with other people. So I think that's where that came from, but it was it was a bit shoehorned. It was a bit...
It didn't make much sense to me in the context, that's
right,
all.
Right, and too easily latched on to from people who maybe wouldn't understand, like, the context of what they're talking about. It was clunky. It was really clunky, and it just didn't need to happen.
But still, loving the Ikra, Ash, Vinny, Panasars in general.
The Panasars in general. Well, are we going to go on to the juicy Keegan storyline now?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Well, it's all really sad though, isn't it?
It is really sad.
Poor Keegan.
Poor Keegan indeed. Like, and obviously, like, listeners, we're assuming you've watched the shows, so you know that Keegan got arrested last week.
Quite violently.
And also, it was interesting how they cut the scene of him being confronted by the police, and then the next scene we see is him on the floor with his face on the concrete. Like, do you think it was because it was before the watershed, or they were just too cowardly to show a violent arrest?
Yeah, I think they don't want to come down like hard on one side of that line. I think they're leaving it just as ambiguous as they can to not like look like they're really criticizing the police as much as you or I might think they should.
Which actually then, and this is again, I think the actor who has played Keegan has been like superb, Zach Morris. And you know, as far as I can tell, like Zach like identifies as a black person, you know, I don't want to take away from his lived experience. He did tweet something recently where, and it was a pushback against people who thought the story was maybe unrealistic, that somebody would get arrested that much. Now, we know that it's not unrealistic in that regard if you've got any understanding of the situation, but he tweeted something about how the storyline wasn't about the police being racist, it's about how unconscious bias exists in society. And fair enough, you know, that's his perspective, and there's a lot of discussions around like unconscious bias. I do think though it is sometimes a distraction from just calling out racism. And we know, you know, there was a big report, and I know we try not to be get too political, but the storyline is political, so I think we're allowed to in this case. You know, there was an entire report which talked about the police racism being endemic within the police, and a lot of like statistics will tell you that that continues to be the case. So if EastEnders have made a really good decision to shine a light on it, then I think we go with it. And I think, you know, we shouldn't shy away from that and, like, you know, let the discussion take place like in as honest a way as possible. I don't know what you think of that.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I don't think we need to have a debate about racism in the police force. There's plenty of, like, very thoroughly documented evidence on that. I guess I see that as, like, a bit of a... It's a problem in the understanding of racism, which I think is going to come into, like, how people interpret this storyline. So we often in this country think about racism as just like people saying racist things or holding racist attitudes. It's like, you know, one person being individually like nasty to another person.
Right.
Whereas what this storyline is demonstrating is like the kinds of cultures, the kinds of systems that wash through institutions like the police that lead to someone like Keegan getting arrested, getting harassed, getting beaten up, all of those things.
Exactly.
So I can understand how you might say, oh, it's not really about the police being racist, because people will see that, if you're saying it is about the police being racist, people see that as you saying like every single individual in the police holds really racist views and they're like consciously acting that out. Which is not what's being demonstrated, but it doesn't mean that what is happening is not racism.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, we're being given a really great opportunity by the soap to speak about that, honestly, to see how that manifests itself. I think where there is more of a point with regards to like, you know, if people want to call it unconscious bias, I'm fine. I'm not going to get into a discussion about what I think of that term, but let's, you know, for the sake of, you know, the actor having used that term, the point about there being unconscious bias in society, I do think has some relevance with regards to his family. And I think what's been really good about this storyline is that Keegan comes from a mixed race family. He's in a mixed race relationship. And those frustrations that you have with the people who are closest to you, who you expect to understand you and know you more so than anyone else, you do see this in like, or you read about it or understand it. I know from friends who are mixed race that even the people who are closer to them, like often the white members of their family, like won't still be able to get it. And I think, you know, Jack's reaction, and we've seen Tiffany's reaction beforehand, and even Keegan's mom, yeah, Karen, like hasn't always been the best. But yeah, I don't know what you think of like the way Jack dealt with the situation this week.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting and really well done by EastEnders. I think like the way that he came in with this sort of like just not really knowing who to believe and like not, you know, just kind of instinctively feeling this like sympathy with the police. And then it also demonstrated like the impact of the hierarchy and the fact that he obviously kind of like had a professional history with this police officer that arrested Keegan. And that impacts the extent to which he can speak up for someone, or even that he can believe like his nephew over his colleague. You know, like I thought it dealt really well with like the complexity of that situation, but then also like the fact that instinct for so many white people to just like disbelieve the experience of black and ethnic minority people.
Yeah, and that's often the case. And like, this isn't, you know, well, at least not from me, and I think, you know, I don't want to speak for you, you know, but like this isn't like an, you know, advocating for like cancelling people and stuff like that. I think, you know, we're all fucking up things. I definitely have got stuff to improve on in various grounds. It's like, but it's kind of being honest about that situation. And often like you can be the most well-meaning, like well-read, like well-informed person like in the world, at least making an attempt in that regard. That doesn't mean you're immune from like making these mistakes or immune from the culture that you kind of grew up in, etc. It's just being receptive to knowing when you've made those mistakes, right? So like Jack, I think, is going to be quite an interesting character to follow in the next few weeks to see if they allow that character development to take place, or are they going to go down the route of cancelling, or they're going to go down the route of being ridiculously understanding and like forgive him of everything.
Yeah, that will be really, really interesting. I'm not sure where they're going to go with that.
Yeah, just a little tangent from that storyline is obviously the conversations Keegan's still having with Bailey about how,
yeah,
if you're black, you have to work harder. And I've got like quite mixed feelings about that storyline, because on the one hand, like, I think it's a conversation that definitely takes place and, you know, implicitly even in my own family, that's kind of been there as well. But do you think they're missing a trick to, or is this playing out with the police storyline to talk about the kind of fighting back against the systemic aspects? Because it seems to be like the thing, you know, what they're pushing is that like you have to resign yourself to the system, but just find a way to navigate it, as opposed to how do you change the system? Or would that just be too big a thing to tackle in a soap?
I can't imagine EastEnders going down that route, personally. I can't think of examples where they've done that. Like, what's quite interesting, I saw someone say this on social media recently, is that, like, you know, EastEnders has been on for, 35 years?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, there's been no political activity. Like, no one have any political conversations. There's like, obviously Ian Beale's become a councillor. There's like the odd situation where like someone will do a petition or like a single issue campaign, but it's like, it is very interesting that like no one on the square has any political affiliations or opinions or activity. Yeah, but I mean, to be honest, like for my own well-being and break from talking about politics, it's probably quite good. Selfishly, I really enjoy the like complete break, all of that stuff.
Yeah, and if they don't end up going down that route, like I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah.
Right, should we speak about something a bit, you know, a bit more lighthearted?
Yeah.
I want to talk about how everybody on the square seemed to be on heat this week.
Oh my god, yeah, it was a horny week, wasn't it?
It really was. It was so bad. So like the first thing that I spotted was Chantelle and Kira, and Chantelle replying to Kira's slightly suggestive remark by going like, "I only blow on my husband's dice." And I was like,
oh my god,
what?
I'm absolutely loving this like building affair.
Oh yeah, they're going to follow through with it. And actually, as a link to that, before we finish off like the rest of the characters on heat, do you think it's going to be, their affair is going to be triggered through Whitney and Gray possibly sleeping together?
Oh my god, I've never even thought of that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh god, poor Whitney though. They can't do that to Whitney. She's had too many awful men in her life.
I mean, the thing is, and I don't know if this is just a request from the actor because it just means better storylines, but they've done everything to Whitney. So part of me feels like, you know what? She's very good at it. Give her another one.
God. That's probably a bit bleak to play as an actor, though. Like, sorry, this is a little bit of a tangent, but the actor who played Ronnie Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember her name. I remember she did an interview a little while ago just saying, like, it just got too depressing.
Samantha Womack.
Yeah, because she just had such a shit time as a character.
Well, the baby swap was like a real low moment.
So yeah, I wonder if Shona...
McCarthy.
Shona McCarthy. You're so good on all the actors' names. Well, I wonder if Shona McCarthy gets a little bit tired and a little bit down with like all the harrowing things that Whitney has to go through.
I mean, maybe, but it is also like, it kind of keeps your skills going, right? And I think another character like that is Kat. Like, they've given her a tough time as anyone else. So yeah, you know, let's see what happens with that.
Who else is horny on the square this week?
Oh my god, well, there was I picked up on all of it. I made a note of all of it. There was now I think about it, it may be questionable comment between Ash and Ikra, where basically Ash says to Ikra, I don't know, something about her food being spicy, but not being as spicy as she is in bed.
Oh, yeah.
But again, you know, maybe two brown people are allowed to say that to each other, so that's fine. Like, Ikra was going out with a white person.
Yeah, that wouldn't be okay, but I think, yeah.
Right.
Slightly different. But, yeah, no, I quite like that. Because I feel like they've been a bit serious recently, haven't they, with all, like, the family stuff.
Yeah, exactly, and I want to see a bit more of that. That romance and stuff, and I think it's maybe also a little bit to do with like portrayals of same-sex like female relationships on TV. Like, there's still some real taboos about what like people show, and I think maybe like EastEnders haven't got there yet. The kind of romantic portrayals between Ben and Callum, they're much more prominent than you ever see between Ash and Ikra.
Definitely, and it was the same with Christian and Saeed as well, and even like, you know, Tina is like such a party animal.
Right.
Yet we never like see her, like we never see the kind of equivalent of what we've seen with Ben when he's single.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and I think it is just generally an issue when it comes to lesbian relationships on TV, that there is this like, it's either objectified, like, you know, male gaze as fuck, or it's these like, yeah, completely unsexualized relationships with like, you know, a little comment here and there, but yeah, no like proper moments of affection and etc. So yeah,
so hopefully we'll see more of horny Ash and Ikra.
we're standing for it, and actually the last horny thing I've got on my list is Tiffany and Keegan.
The ice cream van.
But then not only ice cream van, straight afterwards, Tiffany was like, shower together.
God, yeah. Wow.
I mean, they are young, to be fair.
They're young.
Yeah. A lot of energy. Fair play. You know, it's just jealousy more than anything else.
I mean, I can be honest.
You know what I mean? But we're both past 30 now.
Good for
so.
Them. Yeah. I mean, what are they? 17, 18?
Something like that, right? delighted for you. Go for it. But, you know, fair play. It's just funny that it all came, like, in basically one episode.
Also, I mean, one other thing to mention.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't really talked about the Slaters yet. But,
oh, yeah.
Like, the constant, like, the Kush harassment. So, like, a number of comments again.
Right. Can I point... Do you recall from one of our podcasts from last year, you giving a long defence of Kush being objectified by Kat?
Why it's okay to sexually harass men?
Yeah, right. Have you changed your mind? Right.
I think it's gone a bit too far now. And it's in his own home. He lives there. Now.
Right. He should be safe at home, Una.
Let him live. Yeah.
Let him live. Unbelievable. Shirley and Big Mo. And also Big Mo, like, he's a bit like a bloody old woman. You live with him.
Yeah.
And in fact, they were flatmates for a while, right?
Oh my God, yeah, I forgot about that. That was quite a funny storyline.
That was a brilliant storyline. And actually, we were talking about this before the podcast, about how well Kush fits in with that family. Like, it just works really well.
Yeah, if you told me a year ago that he was going to be, like, living in that house, I would have been like, that's a ridiculous idea.
But it just works. It just massively works.
Yeah, it's great.
What do you think of his interactions with Tommy?
Oh, so sweet. Little Tommy. Yeah, I thought that was like a nice developing storyline. Presumably one they've had to put together quite off the cuff as well. I don't know, or maybe it was coming anyway, but obviously like Kat isn't around, so they've kind of built something in for when hopefully she gets back.
I don't want to, like, I say I don't want to do any of these things and I end up doing them anyway, but, you know, young actors, hard to get into the industry, you know, keep doing your thing. I do think the actor who's playing Tommy has come from the same quite posh acting school as one of the old Bobby Beals did.
Oh my God, yeah, posh Bobby Beals.
Do you remember? Like, and you're just like, what? And like, Tommy does not sound like Kat's son at all.
His accent got better throughout the episode. But yeah, the first like few words that came out of his mouth, I was like, yeah, you are not Kat and Alfie.
This is not Shakespeare, my friend.
Yeah.
This is the East End. Yeah, but you know, let's see how that plays. It's nice to have these little side storylines. Like, I don't know how big that's going to get. I don't know how far that can go, but...
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit of an off-the-cuff, like, holding storyline. But I think it's very sweet and it's nice. It's nice to see more of Kush.
Exactly. Talking of sweet, we had some more tender Phil moments this week.
Tender Phil's back.
He is back. Is he here to stay, is the question.
He's getting in the Vic.
Right.
For sure.
And him and Callum, like, you know, him consulting Callum about Ben's hearing loss.
Yeah, that was very sweet.
Right, and Ben, Phil checking if saying fairies is all right.
I actually like love the like Phil's kind of grappling with no longer being homophobic.
Yeah, right.
Situation, like there was you know that episode where like Callum and Stuart's dad came back.
Yeah.
And like said a bunch of homophobic stuff, and then Phil like I can't remember if, like did Phil knock him out or something, but. I can't
he stepped
remember,
in.
But, like, Phil was like, oh, that's my son.
Exactly. It was really nice. And actually, you know what's nice as well? It's like, it's going further than these, like, incidental moments of, like, support. So, like, doing that, I think, is really lovely. But then, actually, I think going further and actually, you know, explicitly kind of saying how happy he is that, like, Ben and Callum are together, I think that's, like, an even... better step forward, because like tacit moments of support are like one thing, but like, you know, if you're in that situation, you want more than that and you should expect more than that. And I think, you know, Phil going on that journey, I think they've written that you know, that really well.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice.
Well done, Phil.
So I think they're like softening Phil up. I think he's going to carry on getting back together with Sharon.
Do you still think they're going to get the Vic? I think you're right, by the way.
I think they're going to get the Vic, and I think they're going to get the baby back.
By the way, was there ever a blood test that said that the baby was Keegan's? Not Keegan, sorry, Keanu's.
That'd be a twist.
I mean, I think they would have noticed, but... But yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there was.
Oh, okay, was. Fine.
I can't remember. I think it was around like just before Christmas because they got the results and then it was like in a plastic bag for ages and the archers, and then there was like this moment where it got found. And I can't even remember like how Phil found out in the end, but yeah, 100% definitely Keanu's baby.
Okay, fine. Because I thought there was going to be this massive twist, which then would kind of tie up like all of the loose ends, and it was actually Phil's all along.
No, I'm pretty sure it's like sealed, definitely Keanu. But then, I don't know, we never saw the results of this. I mean, Sharon would have said by now, surely. Could have got her out of a lot of trouble.
Can you imagine? She just forgot to open an envelope. And it's like, oh, fuck. That would be a real nightmare.
All that for nothing.
Absolute nightmare. I think we've only got one other big storyline we haven't spoken about specifically, which is Leo's mum, Michaela, coming back on the square.
Oh, God, yeah. Michaela, she's awful.
I mean, did she also forget that Leo, like, knocked her out and locked her in a boot?
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was only a few weeks ago.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can understand her supporting her son, that's fine. What I can't understand is this, like, hostility.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Yeah, because, like, the last time we really saw her, she was, like, really worried about Leo, basically, like, maybe wanting to murder Whitney.
Right. And then he did try and murder Whitney, so...
Yeah, God, poor old Whitney. She's just so... She's too nice for her own good, isn't she?
Do you know what I mean? Because even afterwards, like, she had that fight with Sonia where she basically was like, I get it. I get why Leo's mom is, like, so angry. And you know what? I get it a little bit as well, right? Like, I don't think it's entirely, like, out of character for a mother to even irrationally maybe, like, defend their child. But, it's just more the fact that we had moments of her understanding, like, her son wasn't well, and to completely just kind of not even, to flip reverse on that is a bit like, you could have left a little bit of that in there.
Yeah. But, I mean, it worked well for the storyline.
Yeah, fine.
What did you think about Gray, like, seeing her off like that?
I think that was really smartly written because, like, on the one hand, there's that kind of aspect of it of he's defending Whitney, great, beautiful, but then there was the aggression.
He enjoyed it too much.
You could tell Chantel was, like, perturbed at his behavior and obviously was, like, triggering in different ways. So I was like, yeah, that is like, so, like, well written. Yeah.
Yeah, because he just crossed the line. And also, the like how similar it was to the way that we've seen him treat Chantel.
Right.
Was really well done. And even Whitney seemed a little bit shaken by it all. And then because he got really angry at Whitney afterwards as well, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. His character, I'll be honest with you, when he came on the script, I was a bit like, he's going to last about 2 seconds and that's the end of that. And he's obviously going to leave at some point. Like, I don't see them doing like a Stuart redemption storyline with him.
No.
But he'll have left his mark on the square.
Yeah, I think he's going to be remembered as one of those classic villains.
Do you think it'll escalate to a Trevor Little Mo level of iconic EastEnders status?
I don't know if I can handle that. That was such a distressing episode.
My God, yeah. But it was like, it goes down in the pantheon of EastEnders history.
Yeah, I think it may well do that. Obviously, like, drawing it out as a big, big storyline. And Mitch is going to fit in there somewhere as well.
Oh, yeah, massively.
So, lots of questions.
By the way, just talking to Mitch, I posted on the Twitter, and, I'm not calling anyone out. I'm loving the EastEnders fandom, getting to know them. Big ups. We've all got our own opinion, going to be respectful of each other as well. It's a lovely community. But I suggested, how great would it be if Karen and Mitch became owners of the pub, and there wasn't a lot of love for Mitch.
Yeah, no, I don't get what's the issue with Mitch. I love Mitch.
I'd love to see that. Can you imagine them both behind the bar?
Oh my God, I would absolutely love it. I think it would be amazing.
I genuinely think at least for a year they need to make that happen.
Yeah, please, EastEnders writers, be thinking ahead.
Just be brilliant. It's like, remember when Kat and Alfie had the pub for a while?
Oh yeah, that was so good. Yeah, I mean, Karen would just be incredible as well.
So good. Can you imagine the scenes in the pub? Like, just delicious. Like, and also, her two invisible sons would probably be able to get their own bedrooms as well.
Oh my gosh, yeah, they would. Would we see more or less of them? I don't know.
Don't know. Maybe they'd make them staff. Don't know.
It always feels very ambiguous how many rooms there are in each house.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, how many rooms are there in the Vic?
It's weird, right? Because you think it being above a pub, it can't be that big, but then loads of people crash there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, Mick and Linda live there. Tina, Shirley. That's everyone at the moment. But, like, you know, a while ago, they had baby Ollie.
Right.
And Nancy.
Right.
And Johnny.
I've got Nancy news.
Have you?
Well, I've kind of got Nancy news. So the actor who plays Nancy, I can't remember her name, but I always loved Nancy in EastEnders.
Oh, and yeah, she's brilliant.
Some of my family watched Casualty, so she was in Casualty for a while.
No way!
Casualty, she was really good in Casualty, and she just had an exit storyline, which is really good as well. She adopted her sister's baby who lost her life after like drug addiction and stuff. She did it really well, but she's Maddie, that's her name, right? Maddie something. And she just left Casualty.
No way.
What do you think of that?
I always thought that she was maybe gonna go on and be quite famous.
You can't see her returning to EastEnders with Tamwar.
I thought she would like graduate, well, as Tamwar has, to Hollywood.
Yeah, but that film was crap. Did you see the film it was in?
No, I did not see that film. I watched the trailer and I was like, I literally can't imagine any film I would like to watch less than this.
Well, okay, in my defense, I watched it on an eight-hour flight, so, you know, content was needed. You know what? The film was fine. It was all right. It was a Richard Curtis and Danny Boyle joint venture, so it had Richard Curtis fingerprints all over it. It was fine, and actually, he was very good in it, to be fair. Very good actor.
Yeah, that was the only reason I would have watched that film was for, right. Is it Himesh Patel?
Himesh Patel, right? And yeah. He brushed up so well in it as well. Very handsome man. So
he's had a bit of a glow up.
I know, right? He has had a glow up. Like, I don't think I've ever said, I feel like I'm not allowed to say that being 33, but like, oh yeah, he's had a glow up. It's beautiful. My date was like an, you know, ugly duckling thing. Like that was like, you know, that's what we'd say. But but the film was shit. So I don't see. And like Ed Sheeran was in it.
It was shit, but like very famous though.
Well, yeah, like, you know, maybe it being a shit film won't hold him back, but who knows.
We should do an episode feature on EastEnders characters or actors who have made it to Hollywood.
Well, there's the one that comes to mind immediately is Sean Slater. I can't remember the actor's
name.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But he never quite blew up though, so he ended up coming back for a week. Didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Sean Slater week.
Quite a weird storyline. Yeah.
I think they basically realised they could get him for a week, so they're like, oh, let's make this week's worth of storyline.
Now that he's famous.
Right, and now we're never going to mention him again.
Yeah, unless you need like a get out. Like, he's always the excuse for Stacey or Jean if they need to get out or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, someone's come up with one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right, I think we've done all the storylines for this week.
I think that we have, yeah.
Wah, wah, wah. Are you going to ask the question? The big question?
What is your EastEnder of the week?
EastEnder of the week. I still don't have a jingle, I'm sorry. and I'm not going to do a 10-minute discussion. I hope everybody enjoyed me playing jazzy EastEnders in the background of last week's episode. So do check that out. Do you know what? I'm going to say something which is completely left field just because I love this line so much, and it's Habiba.
Oh, that's nice.
I just thought there is not a lot of love, particularly for Jags, but Jags and Habiba, and I feel like I am now taking up the mantle of defending them. And I, particularly in Habiba's case, I actually thinks she plays the character she's been given really well, and I think it was entirely summed up with her trying to find Jags under the guise of trying to get 50p back from, and I love the fact it was 50p as well.
Yeah, it was very cute.
It was cute.
Yeah.
Right. Who's your EastEnder of the week?
My EastEnder of the week is Ash. Ash Panther.
Brilliant shout.
Yeah, I'm really like, I mean, to be honest, like up until this point, I sort of was finding Ash a little bit boring. Like, she's quite quite sensible doctor. Like, there's lots of mystery there, but like there wasn't much kind of depth to her character, it felt like.
Right.
So I'm really, really enjoying this like gangster turn that she's taken.
Yeah, and actually, it'd be exciting to see how dark it gets.
Yeah, and I really like her and Vinny as well. So I'm quite, yeah, I'm quite excited to see where that goes. I hope that she sort of gets the prominence that I think she deserves.
I think that's where they're heading. So I think all of your dreams will come true.
I'd like to see like a Ash Suki kind of standoff, like a Spider-Man. You know that Spider-Man meme? Sort of an Ash Suki battle, but like where the worst of both of them is like coming out.
And do you know what? And this is not my prediction. I think I've already said mine, but I'll say it again a bit. I actually can see a Ash Suki team up.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, like on the the call center business?
Where Chantel is now working.
Yeah.
In their kitchen. but no, you know what? Because not massively, but there is some parallels with like Phil and Ben's relationship, and obviously like but they've been against each other, but sometimes they've been together working with each other. So I can definitely see that's how Ash and Suki's relationship would kind of fluctuate, and I don't think we've seen like real, you know, them against the world, like, and I can see,
you know, that I've been saying about this thing that like I feels like it felt for a long time that Phil is sort of on the verge of leaving, but they need to like hand over the mantle of the Square's number one gangster.
Oh yeah.
Like maybe one day that's gonna go to Suki.
I mean 100%. I think the Panasars could be like, I think I just got a lot of time for them, and I think like they could definitely be the Mitchells, the new Mitchells.
Yeah, particularly Kira, I think, is like very convincing.
Right. And I think they need to kind of give them, I don't think they've had like a real Big Bang storyline. I think the Suki storyline was a good introduction to their, like, you know, the dark side of the Panasars, particularly Suki. But I think they need to step it up now.
Yeah, it was a bit of an anticlimax, really, that one.
Right. Let's see. Come on. Push it further. Go darker. Yeah. Go deeper. We want to see some real fucked up things.
give us the fucked up shit.
That's what we're here for. By the way, we're not doing PG warnings on this podcast, and I'm not cutting out the swearing, so deal with it. should we do predictions?
Yeah, yeah. Can you go first? Because I haven't thought about it enough yet.
That's fine. So my prediction is one that I've already mentioned, which is I think a Whitney Gray affair is very much on the cards. Not an affair as such.
Crazy.
I know, right? I'm thinking more of one night. A guilty one-night stand, and I can see Whitney immediately telling Chantel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just out of like...
Oh, Grace, such a scumbag.
Yeah, right. I think that will then trigger Chantel sleeping with Kira, and in a complete act of hypocrisy and machismo and violence, Grey will feel more right to be aggrieved. In fact, actually, probably what will happen... No, I'm going to revise it. He will have slept with Whitney. Chantel won't find out. Chantel will end up just like kissing Kira. Like they won't sleep together.
He
will then like, you know, beat her up. Like, and it will just really go to amplify like the sense that he thinks he can do what he wants. And she is like punished in inverted commas for, you know, trying to get out of the toxic situation by turning to Kira.
Yeah. I think that's a good prediction. Is it all going to happen next week, though?
Yes, it's going to all happen next week. All right, let's just say Whitney and Gray are going to get closer next week. That's my prediction for next week.
Okay.
I feel like that's reasonable. Right, have you got your prediction, Una?
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like mine's a bit less specific and long-term than this. but I think, because Keegan and Tiffany also got kicked out of the flat, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
And so I think that maybe they're going to end up moving in with Jack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to, like, create this ongoing tension, because Keegan got charged as well, so this police storyline is not going away. Still got to deal with that whole charge and process. So maybe them moving into the house will, like, maybe that'll spur on Jack's kind of, like, transformation in understanding Keegan and what he's going through and the issues of racism and police.
Well, you know what, actually, I think that's a brilliant shout, because who is Jack going out with? He's going out with Denise.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right? That'll be so good.
Exactly. And Denise has already played a role in this storyline of, like, you know, counselling Keegan when he needs it.
Also, we just don't see enough of Denise. Like, she's such a great character.
She's a brilliant character, a brilliant actor. And I think, you know, use her in this storyline, but also give her own storyline. But I definitely see her being instrumental again in, like, and actually maybe it causing tension between her and Jack, which I think would be interesting.
Oh, wow. They should do this.
This is brilliant. Your predictions, like, they're just so on point. gonna make it happen.
I feel like I'm almost gonna be disappointed if neither of our predictions happen.
I mean, let's be honest, at this rate, we may, I don't want to scare our five listeners, we may run out of EastEnders episodes, so we could just doing our own fan fiction.
Well, I know, I've told you now, if that happens, I'm starting from the beginning of EastEnders and I'm gonna watch it all.
By the way, that's a call out. If anybody knows where we can get all episodes of EastEnders, then yeah, do let us know. Una, a warning though, at soap acting, and I'm basing this even from just watching episodes in the 90s, soap acting has got a lot better. So lower your expectations.
I did actually notice that watching the Pat and Peggy episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I mean, it's kind of a different style. It's not that acting was bad then, it's just very much more like theatrical.
Right.
And quite, which is quite weird for today's context.
And all theatre is bad, so.
Yeah, theatre is terrible. That's why we watch TV.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, predictions, amazing. I think we've both come up with, like, some really good ones.
Yeah, let's hope that the storyline's as good as the ones we've just made up.
Yeah, otherwise, like, shame on you, EastEnders. Like, can't believe it. Right, I think we wrapped up another episode.
I think we have. A little bit longer than normal today.
Hey, but, you know, it was a big week.
All gold, in my opinion.
All gold. I'm actually not gonna edit anything out. And you won't even know.
Don't bother.
I'm going to leave it all in. All of it. Raw, unedited footage. But, yeah.
Right, we'll be back next week.
We will. Follow us on all the... you know, podcast channels and the social media. Well, when I say social media, I just mean Twitter, @Gat, and my pod.
Yeah, maybe we'll get Instagram, but
I'll get
step by step.
I don't know how to use Instagram. I'm not on Instagram. It's such a hassle. Maybe we just go straight to TikTok.
Oh my God, I don't even understand TikTok. Sorry, I'm just too old.
This is post-podcast chat, so I'm just going to say, okay, bye guys.
Bye. Dun 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 dun. Scene: an awkward atmosphere. Lydia toying with a cheap rose on the table.
So, what are you planning to do tonight?
I don't know, hire a DVD or something.
I'm sorry, Bradley, if I didn't have to get back to work.
It's all right. I don't mind.
Well, maybe we could make up for lost time soon.
Bradley looks at her, smiles.
A friend of mine has a cottage in Suffolk. She said I can use it any weekend she's not there. We could take off Friday night.
Lydia smiles. Bradley looks uncomfortable.
I'm not sure.
You're not busy, are you?
No, but...
But what?
Well, we don't have to be doing things all the time, do we?
Bradley?
We saw each other yesterday. We're having lunch today.
We're spending too much time together. Is that what you're saying?
It wouldn't hurt to have a bit of a break, would it?
So you can go to the Vic in the evening?
Look, this has got nothing to do with Stacey.
I didn't think it had. I know you're going to see her from time to time. You can hardly avoid her on that market stall, but...
Bradley looks up, unhappy about her tone with Stacey.
She's hardly your dream girl, is she?
I'm sorry.
What?
Look, I like you, Lydia. I really do, but...
Don't tell me. I think I know what's coming next.
It's not you. It's me.
Spot on.
I'm just not ready for another relationship.
And it's taken you till now to realise that, has it? Was it a few drinks last night helped to focus your mind?
Bradley looks at her, guiltily.
This really is to do with Stacey.
It's complicated.
Isn't it? It all looks pretty simple to me. All that talk about wanting to move on with your life. It's not really what you want at all, is it, Bradley? You're still stuck in your local with your ex, aren't you? And you know what? Maybe that's where you should stay.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. Give Stacey my regards. And this...
She tosses the rose towards him, then moves off, purposefully, on Bradley, looking down at the cheap rose before him. Scene, Patrick enters the living room wearing his coat.
Yande.
On Patrick as he hears soft mood music playing, sees tea lights everywhere, a moment on him as he smiles.
Coming.
He starts to take off his jacket.
Don't worry about Burton, Jay. I told him straight. We need some time to...
He breaks off as he turns to see Yolande before him, sexily dressed, a tray in her hands, of finger food, heart-shaped canapes, strawberries and chocolate sauce. Yolande holds his look now.
You're hungry?
They sit back on the sofa, still holding on one another's looks. Scene, in on Jay with Bert.
So if we can't go back, what are we meant to do?
We could kill a few hours at the Flicks.
There's only some love film on.
How about Tenpin Bowling?
You?
I'll have you know, when I was your age, my nickname was Lucky Strike.
Whatever. All right, if that's what you want to do.
Well, don't go doing me no favours, lad. If there's other things you'd rather be doing.
Plenty I could be doing.
Fine, here's a tenner. Go do them.
Bert hands Jay the money and strides off to the Vic. Jay looks at his tenner, a little lost, before he moves off in the opposite direction. Now go to Max, heading home when he sees something across the street. Take his point of view of Stacey crossing the square when Bradley, away behind her, sees her and calls to her.
Stace?
On Max watching, then go to Stacey as she sees Bradley, then looking down at this takeaway pizza box she's carrying.
If you're after a slice, I'm saving it till I get home.
You're not doing anything tonight then?
Actually, I've got a date with Johnny Depp.
Scene. Jim's in the kitchen, scrubbed up, suited and booted, table laid. He checks Dot Sherry's on the side with Shuna, a brace of beers for himself sticking out at a jaunty angle from an ice-filled wine bucket. He checks his watch now and is just starting to light some candles when he hears the front door sound.
Dorothy?
He quickly sets a serving dish on the table, a tea towel covering his chicken, just as Dot enters behind him.
Saul.
Jim whisks his tea towel away to reveal his perfectly cooked chicken, surrounded by roast potatoes and sprouts.
You didn't really think I'd forget, did you?
On Doc coming forward.
Had all this planned for days. You and me.
He smiles, hands her a sherry and pulls out a chair for her to sit down.
Jim,
But Abby's voice suddenly sounds from the hall.
Grandma Dot?
Jim looks towards the door.
Said we'd look after the girls tonight.
You what?
Before Doc can speak, Abby opens the door.
Oh, great. Roast chicken.